that this is going to be a very interesting and exciting time for entrepreneurial types.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Welcome, everyone, to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with MassMEP, and today we have a great podcast for everyone. I'm here with Jeffrey Thomas. He is the Executive Director of Lever, and their logo on their website says Lever, and then it says Entrepreneurship and Innovation, and I'm pretty sure we're going to tap into where that wording comes from as we go along here this afternoon with Jeffrey. We are here with Jeffrey, and we're here to talk about the Lever Entrepreneur Challenge. But before we get into the challenge and the opportunities that come along with that, would you be able to get to let us know a little bit more about Lever and absolutely, and also yourself, Jeffrey? Provide us like an overview of the organization and your role as well.
Sure. Thank you, Haley. Lever is a seven-year-old nonprofit economic development group. We're based in North Adams, Massachusetts, which is, you know, in the northwest corner of the state of Massachusetts. And it's an area of the state that has not seen as much of the economic prosperity that other parts of the state have. I tell people it's really a different economy out here than in Metro Boston. And frankly, in North Berkshire County, for the past couple decades, economic conversation is dominated by loss. Yet we have a lot of wonderful assets in our region, wonderful assets, cultural assets, arts, education, some of the finest education institutions in the world, honestly. We have a strong legacy of manufacturing here. And so we decided to call it Lever because we wanted to conversation about our region to talk about, to start with the assets and what we can build on.
Right.
And that's how we started. Our lever is really to focus on people who are going to create jobs. And in our view, it's a particular type of entrepreneur, what we call a growth entrepreneur or a startup entrepreneur, someone who's got an idea that can scale quickly and can create jobs in a short period of time. So Lever is really I tell people it's sort of a concierge service for entrepreneurs in our region. And we try to help them however we can, whether it's with expertise. Sometimes they need space to work out of, we offer that. We have a pretty strong network that we build around our efforts. And we also have put together an investment fund, venture fund, that we use to help them capitalize their ideas. My background is oddly in science. I'm a scientist by training.
Nice.
And I tell people that I'm an entrepreneur by accident. When I was finishing my research training, I learned about an opportunity to go work for a biotech company in Boston. And for me, the appeal was not to work for a company.
Yeah.
I didn't really even know what stock options were. But rather, that they wanted me to do exactly the research that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that company is called Millennium Pharmaceuticals. Many people know it. It's one of the more successful companies in the late 90s and early 2000s in the genomic space. And that just started me off on this path of entrepreneurship. So I live out here in Western Mass and began teaching entrepreneurship, and sort of one thing led to another. And now I run this accelerator
yeah.
that's in North Adams.
Yeah, I think, you know, being an entrepreneur, it's definitely something that's it's at your heart. There are definitely certain people who are more comfortable, you know, being there and working for somebody else. And then there's other people that I've always thought of it as it's a creative aspect. And those that have, I don't really remember the psychology, but the parts of the brain, the right side or the left side, whatever it may be, and those that are dominant in the side that's more creative, they always seem to be the ones that really enjoy and thrive off of being an entrepreneur. So it's definitely one of those things that comes true from your heart. You're born with it, I think. It's just you. And then having something along this level with you, it really helps project that and move it forward. Are you from Massachusetts originally then, Jeffrey?
No, I grew up in the Midwest, in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay. All right. I lived out in the Midwest for a couple of years as well. So yeah,
And I'll just say that those are very nice things that you just said about my entrepreneurial bent. My way of explaining it to my friends is I just get bored easily.
Yeah. And it's funny for the audience. I was telling Jeffrey earlier that one of my children, she has that spirit, and I see that in her. So thankfully she's young and we can still try to help develop that. And Jeffrey was nice enough to offer her an opportunity that is it's pretty amazing, and hopefully we get to take you up on that. But I know right now with COVID and the way it is, I kind of wonder if being in this situation and where we are, do you think this allows people to be a little bit more creative and have a little bit more thought and want to do things like this?
I do. I think this is, I like to look for silver linings.
Yeah.
And it's been helpful to me personally in the past half year now. And I think that this is going to be a very interesting and exciting time for entrepreneurial types.
Yeah.
There's so much change happening. And whenever that happens within societies and economies, it creates opportunities for entrepreneurs. It creates new market opportunities, niches, opportunities for technologies that, you know, may have been sitting on a shelf for a while. They couldn't find a good place for those to be brought to market. And then, you know, paradoxically, we find that higher unemployment, it's unfortunate that we're in that situation, but practically speaking, it frees up people sometimes to pursue that idea that they never had time for.
Yeah, it slows it. It seems to, you know, I asked this question of two of our podcast guests before, but it slowed everything down. You know, everybody always says, if I only had more time. Well, we all just got a gift of having a lot of time. And some people did great jobs with making use of that gift and really expanded what they think or what they do or how they go through every day. And some people maybe didn't, and they were, you know, they were in an essential role and maybe they just had to keep moving forward. But I think this time it really helps slow things down and give people, like you said, that moment to go, oh, wow, let's look at this. Let's take a peek at this and see. And I think maybe at first everybody was kind of like, oh, well, we'll have a little bit of time. This will lighten up. And then when it got to day, I don't know anymore what even day we're in now. So it's changed. But I think it's a great idea for us to, you know, take this moment and use it for something positive. So what gave you the idea to run the Intrapreneur Challenge?
So the idea came developed collaboratively. We've been working with the state quasi-governmental economic development organization, Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, for a few years. They've provided some funding support for us and have supported some of our interns that have worked with us.
Okay.
So, and we had a great relationship with them. So when this all started with the COVID pandemic, we, like a lot of people, raised our hands and said, we want to help. And so we reached out to our friends at MassTech. They knew who we were and what we did and had an idea of what we brought to the table. And from that, some discussions, we talked about maybe doing a hackathon and some other kinds of formats to activate innovators to help stop the spread.
Right.
And from those conversations, developed the idea of doing a series of challenge programs. And for us, the challenge program is a nice format because, first of all, we get to, there's a carrot for innovators to participate, which is a cash prize. And then with that cash prize, then of course comes a competition, which brings out the best in everybody, I believe, all the time.
Yeah.
And then around that competition, then we build a structure of workshops, mentoring, homework, honestly, talking to customers, working in a business plan, writing a pro forma, these two types of things, which are sort of one-on-one stuff, but we bring a lot of structure to it. So that's what we have, and that's where it started. I have to give a lot of credit to the leadership at Massachusetts Technology Collaborative.
Yeah,
we had not done a statewide program before, and we had not, and of course, we just recently switched to a remote format completely. Mm-hmm. And they took a leap of faith with us, and I think so far it's worked out pretty well. At least we've been pretty excited with the response and the outcomes we're seeing so far.
Yeah, and so we didn't say it wasn't an error, and people are listening going, wait, I thought he said entrepreneur, but I think she just said intrapreneur. So can you explain, like, is there a difference and what would it be?
Yeah. So thanks, Haley. Yeah, intrapreneur, intrapreneur versus entrepreneur, entrepreneur. Why do we bother with those two words and what's the difference?
Yeah.
First of all, I'll give you our definition of entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is simply someone who's innovating from within an existing company.
Okay.
It could be, a company, so they're innovating on top of a pre-existing set of resources.
Okay.
An entrepreneur is always trying to build something really without regard to resources controlled. Mm-hmm. And often starting with no resources controlled. it's starting from whole cloth, which is one of the most amazing and noble things about entrepreneurship, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But for this problem, helping stop the spread and its urgency, mm-hmm. we felt that focusing on innovators at existing companies should be the priority because they're going to be the most able to bring goods and services to market quickly.
But yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
By pivoting their companies' focus and operations toward things that are going to help us stop the spread.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to explain it because I know people will probably be like, wait, I'm confused. But now they're not confused. You talked about some of the partnerships that you did work with for this project. Obviously you said MassTech Collaborative. You were involved with the MERT, and then of course with us, right, with MassMEP. So, can you give us a little bit about the partnerships with those? Were they there before? Did we kind of get to know each other through this? And hopefully, on our side, obviously, we hope to move forward with you in the future once we get past all of this, which we will. Just give us a little bit on that.
Yeah, I want to just say what you just said again. We will get through this.
Yes.
It will end.
Yes.
it's important to keep saying that.
It's just reassurance we give ourselves every single day, Jeffrey, just to get, you know, it's one of those things, and it's a morning mantra now. It's become, it seems, morning, day, afternoon, evening mantra.
I think you can't say it too often.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned that we've Mass Technology Collaborative is an important partner for us, and the funder of the challenge program. They're putting up the prize money, and they've given us a grant to support our resource allocation toward this. And there another piece that of the work with Mass Tech Collaborative, which has been wonderful for us, is that they've really helped us pivot our own operation to face companies statewide.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a regional focus, and we have a terrific network out here. We know everybody knows us, and that's a lot of fun. But for us to, we just didn't know many people, many companies really east of the Connecticut River, truth be told. And so Mass Tech has been great in terms of helping us with outreach and the communications around the program, and have actually allocated significant resources to support us, for which we're very grateful. The second piece of this is MERT, and that's a story in and of itself. I think I'll try to give the short version, which is that Governor Baker asked the leader of Mass Tech Collaborative, Carolyn Kirk, to create a group of amazing leaders, honestly, from the health sector, manufacturing, research, and many more that have come together to support especially the need for PPE in Massachusetts. And so we were invited to become part of that. And the Entrepreneur Challenge is now part of the portfolio of activities that MERT is conducting, all of which are aimed at helping companies pivot to make goods and services to help stop the spread of COVID.
Right.
And then MassMEP is, I've said to several of your colleagues, Haley, MassMEP has been to us like found money. I mean, is there anything more delightful than finding money?
No, not at all. We appreciate that.
Getting to know you and your colleagues at MassMEP has been like that for us. We've been so focused on our region and the local needs that we honestly really weren't aware of what MassMEP is doing. That's nothing to do with how the wonderful work that you do. It's just more about just our focus and whatnot. Yeah. In any case, now that we've learned and understood all the great things that you do, we realize it's a great opportunity to collaborate, and it's many opportunities to collaborate where we can come together and do something that's greater than the sum of the parts, so to speak.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Tom Andrelos has been mentoring our companies and helping advise them on other types of resources they could tap into, grant resources, training resources, access to experts who can help these companies scale production, which is really important. And so, and then as you mentioned earlier, we're talking about doing projects that are outside of the focus on the COVID work. And that's very exciting for us too. I think, again, MassMEP has a tremendous network.
Yeah.
And we just, to be brought into that, it's just a real honor and privilege.
Well, thank you. We feel the same way too, because this also gives us a different resource as well. And in, you know, we had to find ways to pivot, and we had to find ways to pivot so that we could still help our clients and the manufacturers in the state. And something like this, you know, it may be, you know, for those that stayed essential or for those that were trying to find a way to stay essential, and they could come up with something and then enter this with you. It gave us another outlet to offer to them. So it was very much, we feel the same way and we reciprocate it back as well. So it definitely, moving forward, this is going to be a great opportunity for us, obviously, and then also for those that we both work with. And expanding those resources even more. So yeah, we like to think we reach out. We have fingers in all, you know, all sections of the state, and obviously we cover the whole state, but this is another outside of the box opportunity that we can now offer as well. So it's great for having this partnership. I want to get into the actual details though of the actual, the challenge itself. So do you want to, I obviously know all of them. I know how it works. But for some of those that are in the audience now, you said about there's that dangling carrot. Well, that dangling carrot's probably still out there in front of them thinking, wait, I think he said cash prize. Like what? But to get there is a process. So do you want to give us the rundown on how it works and you know, maybe some of the guidelines or qualifications that they need to be a part of it as well?
Sure. So it starts with, for us, with developing a request for applications. And that's where we sort of lay down the parameters, what we're looking for. For example, in challenge one, we were focused on companies that wanted to make general use face masks. So that was a requirement. You gotta want to make face masks.
Yeah.
We asked for companies that are not startups, and we have a little requirements around that. So we put a pretty simple application form together. Okay. And tell us your idea, tell us a little bit about your company. And from the application we received, we selected 13 finalists for that first challenge.
Okay.
And we worked with them over about 5 weeks with which is a pretty intensive program, I have to say. That included doing workshops with us on Zoom, and we had various experts come in, and so we talked about some of the strategies for talking with customers and getting that customer validation, building a pitch,
yeah,
and making the case really that their plan was most likely to succeed,
mm-hmm.
Which is the strategy to win the award. Mm-hmm. So for the first challenge on face masks, there's a $25,000 grant that went to the winner. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
To get that grant, the companies had to pitch their idea to a panel of expert judges. In this case, all three judges were CEOs, former CEOs of manufacturers in Massachusetts, and sort of new manufacturing, you know, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They read through packets of pre-materials that each company provided, including their performance and what they'd learned from the customer interviews, other important information about the company. So all the judges studied the companies and their ideas before then a final pitch event. At the pitch event, each company was given just 5 minutes.
Wow.
to present their business plan. And
yeah,
we work with them to help them use that 5 minutes to the most advantage. And then another 5 minutes to ask the questions for the judges. So after all the companies pitched, and I should mention, we ended up with 11 of the 13. One company dropped out. Because it the CEO had a family member in hospice and just couldn't commit the resources, and the other company dropped out for a related reason. And this is typical.
Yeah.
These challenges are a lot of work.
Yeah.
And to participate, the entrepreneurs have to actually it's allocate resources to this. That means they have to take resources from somewhere else. So
right,
usually expect a few companies to realize, oh, I can't do this right now. In any case, the judges, after hearing all 11 pitches,
yeah,
deliberated in secret for about half an hour and decided on a winner and a runner up. And then beyond that, we announced that, a lot of fun, and we can talk more about the winner.
Yeah.
But it's not over. We stay in touch with these companies, and in fact, MassMEP is beginning to engage with these companies and continue to support them. So we tell these entrepreneurs, like it or not, you're part of the Lever family.
Yeah.
And we're just always going to be care about your success, and we're always going to be here and try and support you however we can.
Yeah, so you give me all of that. Now I'm going to ask, I have some really specific questions then, because you know, when you said about, you know, some companies, they get into this and they have, it's, you know, we've got a plan, we're going to be able to do it. But obviously some reasons come up. But so how long would you tell the companies that they're probably going to need to commit of time for them to be a part of this? Is there a certain amount of time that you kind of give them?
Yeah, we try to, it's important that before they begin the process, I think that we tell them, you know, what to expect. And over the 5-week acceleration period between when we start the workshops and the final event, I suggest to the entrepreneurs that they're going to need to allocate about 10 hours a week.
Okay.
To the program. And based on the feedback we've gotten, that's, you know, close to being minus. Some weeks are more intense than others. About 10 hours a week.
Okay. We understand that too, because we do a lot of trainings. And like you had said, when you're pulling a resource from one area, you know, you still need to have that. So the same thing with trainings, and we have trainings that run anywhere from 8 to 16 hours that, you know, we have. So that makes complete sense that that's about the average time that most people, 10 hours is a good allotted time. How many challenges actually are there that you're going to have?
Yeah. So we're going to do 4 challenges in total. Okay. Within this program with MassTech. The first challenge concluded about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And on face masks. The second challenge is in process. It'll conclude on August 21st. And here we're working with a range of companies, each of which is developing in innovations to help, you know, reopen the state.
Okay.
And stop the spread of the virus. Challenge 3 will have the same theme.
Okay.
Challenge 4 will be different. First of all, the award is going to be doubled. It'll be a $50,000 award.
Wow.
And it will be for entrepreneurs. Getting back to our previous discussion about entrepreneurs versus entrepreneurs.
Okay.
The idea, we'll probably have a larger group of finalists with a bigger prize. And the rationale for the bigger prize is something we already touched on, is that entrepreneurs have to start from scratch.
Yeah.
So, but we think it's important to include them. And as we touched on a little while ago, the longer the pandemic goes on, I think the more of these entrepreneurs there are likely to be out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we like to
do. I have one in my house, so don't be surprised if she comes knocking on your door.
Right.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So you definitely with this going on, and it really does make a huge difference in people knowing, because it's one of those things too, where, like you said kind of earlier, and you touched on it, where, you know, if people aren't working and they were furloughed or their business, you know, has unfortunately stopped running, they have to find a way, you know, to make it and provide. And so it's, there's that element of it too as well. So I think it really is, like you said, it's going to push a lot of people to, plus, I mean, that's a great carrot. That's a really big that's a really big carrot that's hanging at the end of that one. But okay, so there's four more challenges. They all have a different themes, or three more challenges. Sorry. Yeah. So the total is four. Okay. And then, so can you mind? Can we talk about the winner of challenge one? And can you give us a little? Yeah. Like, let's get into who they were and how that all went down.
Yeah. So the company that won the face mask challenge one, is called Speakeasy Travel Supply. And they're based on the Cape in Centerville. This is a husband and wife team that have their own cottage business there. And they have a shop and they cater to travelers, which, you know, good spot for that down on the Cape. One of their products that they had developed for travelers was a scarf that, particularly for women to wear, that had hidden pockets in it for passport and valuables and whatnot. And they sell a lot of these at their store and with their own e-commerce business. Well, when the pandemic started, their business changed dramatically. I mean, people stopped traveling and thinking about traveling and preparing to travel. So they started asking themselves, like, well, gee, what else can we do? And that's how they started thinking about face masks. The winning design that they presented is happily a variation on these travel scarves. And what they've done is they made them a little bigger so that they can be pulled up over the nose. There's a wire that allows you to shape the scarf around the nose, so you're getting a good seal around the nose. Yeah. It can be pulled over the ears, over the tops of the ears, if you wish, and that's a nice feature for people wearing hearing aids.
Oh, wow.
It has they've kept the secret pockets in there. And of course it's just simple to pull it down and leave it on your neck. So, if you are traveling about, you don't have to worry about leaving it somewhere or forgetting it at home.
Yeah, that's great. And, obviously living up in the Northeast, like, and of course we want everybody to use these, but for those of us that are, you know, if you're an outside person in the winter, if you're a skier or a snowboarder or a snowmobiler out here, we all love those kind of things. So that's something that, you know, their products are great. Went online and looked at what they had already in stock, and those scarves are for a mom if you have kids and you need some free hands. And I mean, just to be streamlined and travel, if you're a business woman and you're trying to get through, I mean, I saw all ways that I could use that scarf. So now to know that they have a mask that's similar to that, for me, is I'm super excited. I can't wait for it to come out, because it's the way that I would love to be able to wear a mask. So I'm really, really excited for that when it starts to hit. You know, they have, I'm hoping, I saw they maybe hit some places, they'll be in some boutiques, and they have some of their products already there. So I know where they have their stuff. I have my list up so I can go check places once I know it's out there. Now, you said you had a runner up as well. So with your companies, do you have any fun, like really cool pitches, like some good stories maybe you could tell us, maybe for some of the others that are now that are hearing this and they're going, you know what, I might try and enter this. Were there some that just stood out to you that you were like, wow, that was a great, great pitch?
Honestly, all of them.
All of them, yeah.
So I've got lots to choose from. I'll give two that kind of, I think, illustrate the range of companies and ideas that we considered or heard from. One is a company called South Coast Designs. It's a solo business owner. Her name is Sue Chouinard. Sue is a fabric design specialist. She studied at UMass Dartmouth and the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. And she ran, she had a tailoring business in Dartmouth, Mass, which also, and most of her work was for events, you know, weddings, you know, formal get-togethers, that sort of thing. And people just, again, stopped doing that last March.
Yeah.
So she began thinking, well, what else could I do? And she came up with a face mask design that is my personal favorite. And my order is already in. What she's done, it's just amazing. Starts with a 10-inch by 10-inch square of material.
Okay.
She folds it, she says, origami style, and sews it, and ends up with a mask that comes out away from your mouth. And creates an air pocket that's holed up by these soft ridges of fabric that are sewn to give structure. So you can talk, and the mask is soft, but doesn't suck into your mouth. It's yeah. got a structure. And her plan is to market this initially, get this, to college professors.
Oh, yeah.
They can go to their lectures, they can be there in person, be safe, yeah. and talk, you yeah. know, and for comfortably, you know, for 45 minutes, an hour, whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
So that was one. And then another is a company making more of the N95 style masks.
Okay.
This is a company called Contolo,
mm-hmm.
based in Franklin. You may have heard of them.
Yep.
This is like the rise from the ad. This is the phoenix of companies.
Yeah.
The Peter Burson, the CEO, found out that there was an abandoned factory that had been shuttered for 4 or 5 years. That had in it these cutting machines that he heard should still be operational. So he got the town councilor involved, found the landlord, found some former employees of this factory, and went in there and started the station. And they initially started with gowns, and they're making a large number of gowns for medical use, but now they're adding face masks into their product line. And to me, the most exciting thing was he is employed people in Franklin.
Yeah.
Used to work in this factory and had not been employed in some cases for several years.
Wow.
Since the factory closed. I mean, I said to him, that's not job creation. That's not job preservation. That's a job resurrection.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long retention time, right? Wow, that's phenomenal. That's really cool. Yeah, it's pretty amazing what's come out. Like, I love the way you said that about they are the phoenix and the rising phoenix coming out of the ashes. And, you know, we definitely knew we knew about all of that going on. And it's so inspiring to see that happen. And that's that silver lining, right, that you said earlier about finding the silver lining in everything that's happening today. So that's the silver lining. That's just one of them. There've been many, but that's definitely one of them. So we have 4 challenges total. So we have 3 left. But you said you're in round 2 right now, right? So how far did you say you guys are in round 2?
Yeah, we're right about halfway through.
Okay. Okay.
We have 9 excited companies.
Great.
Some are working on partitions and safety barriers to help, you know, retail stores and restaurants, food services reopen. We have one company that is working on air quality monitoring.
Ooh.
And there's data that shows that humidity can affect how long viruses are infectious in the air.
Wow.
And also they're looking at CO2, which is a marker of human breathing. Right. So therefore it indicates how much the air in an indoor space is being turned over.
Okay.
Right. And theoretically, the more it's being turned over, the less likely there is to be infection. So that's another company. And then the third company is, this is my current kind of favorite idea, is hopes to create an e-commerce website for made in Massachusetts PPE.
Nice.
And the opportunity there is to build on the success that we've had here in stopping the spread of the virus.
Yeah.
And if you sort of play this out, right, so not only can these Massachusetts manufacturers support the needs here in Massachusetts, but in other parts of the country where there's not been as much success in stopping the spread.
Yeah.
They can buy the good stuff from us, right? they can go to Joel Weitzman's website at Sheer Color and buy the made in mass stuff, right?
Awesome. Yeah.
And that's potentiating all this, you know, creating more jobs, bringing, you know, setting the state up for a relatively quick economic recovery.
Yeah. That is so cool. I hope that, that's a good one. That's a real good one. That's fun. It's gotta be a lot of fun to be able to be on this and to see all of these ideas and people put them out there, and I'm sure it's very inspiring for you and for those that are on the panel to be able to watch and see this. So it's a pretty, pretty neat thing. And it's really nice to know that you follow through and continue to help. And then obviously we're fortunate enough that MassMEP, we can jump in as well with them and help them so that, you know, coming out of this, there might be 9 more opportunities that come for this. You know, maybe there's only one winner with you, but the other 8 companies still have an opportunity moving forward. So it's a cool opportunity, and it's really neat. It really sets Massachusetts apart, I think, from the rest of the U.S. right now. But we can say that we're biased. We're here. I work for MassMEP, right? So that's where I go with it. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Do you have any other, you know, little insights or any encouraging words to get those people out there to get registered and be a part of your event? Or?
Oh, yeah, thank you. We'll be announcing, it will be issuing the request for applications for Challenge 3 soon, I'd say within the next 2 weeks. So if that's something you're interested in, look for that. You can find it on our website, at the MassTech website. And we'd love to hear from you on that. And I thank you guys so much for doing these programs and sharing what you're seeing with others in the Massachusetts community. I think it's just in this time, it's just so important to share these stories, because there's just so much that's happening, so much great stuff that's happening. So great job. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Jeffrey. We appreciate you taking your time to sit down and talk to us this morning and then be able to get this out to the rest of the audience. Jeffrey, I just want to make sure we get everybody your website. So it's leverinc.org. So it's leverinc.org. So they can go onto your website, leverinc.org. And right up on the top ribbon, there's actually a bar that says challenges. And that's where they'll be able to get more information. And obviously, we'll give out the information as well at massmep.org too. And like you said, go to MassTech, their website. Everybody, we'll make sure that we get it out there for you so everybody knows that they're ready to go. And you're looking for the next level and the next entrepreneur for the state of Massachusetts. So
right, so we can help stop the spread of the virus.
You got it. That is the goal here. So thank you, Jeffrey, for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking your time. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you got some great information. And maybe you'll be out there grabbing that carrot. There's a couple big ones out there, so go find them soon. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or iTunes or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. So Thanks for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you all soon.
Thank you so much for listening to Mass MEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of Mass MEP's podcasts or for more information on how Mass MEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.